This is Indie Book Publishing. Indie Book Publishing is a show about new books and the authors who wrote them. It's an opportunity for prospective readers to hear directly from the writers, to hear what inspired them to write and publish, and to hear all the inside details about their books. And now, Indie Book Publishing with your host, Steve Jorgensen.
Whatever life brings. Subtitled, Love, Spiritual Growth, and Understanding Stress. Important topics. And she joins me from New Jersey in the United States. Welcome today.
Thank you.
Good to have an opportunity to visit with you. This is a stressful world. You address that in your book. You have written 318 pages of important information and important ideas. It was important to you to write this book as well. Why did you feel inspired to do so?
My son died untimely at age 39, and I always wanted to write something as a tribute to him. And when he was alive, he wanted to write an inspirational and helpful book to help people. And that's one of the things that I thought of doing. But then as I keep on writing, I realized I learned a lot from my grieving process. And later on, I decided to write about this, the topic of how to live well, whatever life brings, because that's my experience, and I was able to go through it successfully.
You originally were of the Philippine heritage, correct? Is that where you were born?
Yes, I was born and raised in the Philippines, and I came here at age 24 as a medical intern.
And your field of study, what is that?
I am a board-certified internist. It's a primary care physician. I've been practicing for 40 years in Elizabeth, New Jersey.
Wonderful. A part of your book deals with what you call ego defense and beyond, mature ego defense and beyond. In that area, you have four chapters. You have one about ego defenses, and the second one caught my attention, which I found interesting. You titled it Journey to Holiness. What do you see as holiness, and how should we get there?
Holiness to me is being a good person and believing in God. Once you believe in God, you will learn a lot about the Bible and what the Bible teaches. It's basically to be a good person. And I think that once you decided to be holy, your life becomes simple because you try to do things that are good, and it will eliminate unnecessary, stressful things that will happen in your life, the ones that are within your control.
And that is the area of your life that gave you healing in the untimely death of your son.
Partly.
Right.
There are 17 skill sets that I learned as a habit to go through the tragedy. And one of the big things is faith in God and being a holy trying to be a holy person.
And what are some of the other items that you have developed and are sharing with the readers?
I learned that the mature ego defenses can be used consciously. Long time ago, at the beginning of the century, Freud discovered the ego defenses together with his daughter, and he claimed that these mature ego defenses, although they are critical for the success of one's life, was used unconsciously. But I have implemented the ego defenses by conscious will, and it works very well for me, and this is something like a discovery for me, and I want people to learn it and use it because it is very useful in making their life better. The first chapter of the book is about the five mature ego defenses, which is love, self-discipline, anticipation, sublimation, and humor. And then the second chapter is Journey to Holiness, which includes faith in God, acceptance of suffering, peace, and joy. And the third chapter of the book is about emotions. And the fourth one is about energy. Then the second part of the book is about all about stress.
Stress is difficult to deal with. And what are your recommendations? I know that you have talked about stress and ways to address it. What is the first thing we should do?
I think you have to identify your life's stresses and make sure that every day you try to handle it to get rid of your stress. There are preventive measures that you can do to lessen your stress, and that is physical exercise, to do diaphragmatic breathing, to eat healthy, to drink enough water, 6 to 8 glasses of water, and to sleep enough sleep, about 7 to 8 hours a day.
That's...
And also to cultivate intimate relationship, because relationship help you go through life better.
You've also included some poetry and quotes from other authors in your book. Is there any poem specifically that you think would be interesting for the listeners to hear?
I think all my poems, I love all of them. But I have a very short poem about forgiveness.
Yes, love to hear that.
Forgive. Be like the sun that shines underneath the cloudy sky. Be like a hero that forgets, forgives our imperfect world. Be like your favorite pet dog who does not carry grudges. Make a habit to start its day anew.
The thought of a puppy dog brought a smile to my face, and that would be a great way for an individual to conduct their life without any lookbacks and carrying grudges or carrying sadness with them to the next day. I think that's a wonderful poem to read. Who do you think is going to enjoy or benefit from reading your book, How to Live Well, Whatever Life Brings?
I think it has a universal appeal, and the book is comprehensive, so it will touch people's lives, all the way from teenager to old age. It's basically a guide for living life successfully.
And do you have some tips on how to improve our energy?
Yes. Relieving the stress is one way of improving our energy. The other thing, too, is to focus on unconditional love. When you have all negative emotions like grudges or prejudice or pride, fear, anger, that consumes your energy unnecessarily. But if you are able to love yourself unconditionally and love others unconditionally as well, your emotion is whole. And you focus on what you do, and you are full of energy.
How important is spirituality relating to mental and physical health?
It's very important, because there are things in life that you don't understand and hard to accept, and you will feel much better and at peace when you embrace God in your life. There's a quote about this famous writer that says that to a symmetrical nature, God is a crowning glory, but to an asymmetrical nature, you need God in order to survive in this world.
Good quote. Excellent. I know that some has been said by others that we need to become the master of our own fate and the captain of our own ship. Do you have some recommendations on how to accomplish that?
Yes. We have to become self-reliant and mature. We have to understand that our own life, we are responsible for making our life good or bad. It's our choice, and we can make our own destiny.
You have managed to pen 318 pages. How long did that take to complete, Dr. Tan?
5 years.
5 years of writing. And was there a lot of research that you also included in this 318 pages?
Yes. I also is an avid reader of nonfiction books. I have been reading all the time. As a practicing physician, I always read medical books and nonfiction books, psychology, psychiatry, and a lot of books that are useful in life, to go through life. So I've been familiar with a lot of nonfiction books.
If you were to introduce this to a friend in a couple of sentences, how would you do so?
I would say, you have to read this book and give it to your friends and family. It's a book that is nurturing, is spiritual, and will help you in your life's journey.
You've included a lot of personal references in your book, along with outside references. How do you think this book stacks up with others in the marketplace? Is this one different? Is there something that's unique about the way you have presented your story?
I think partly it's autobiographical. Second is that I have a lot of personal experience being in private practice doing internal medicine for 40 years. And also, I went through the most painful thing that ever happened in my life, and I was able to overcome it.
That's important.
The grieving process is not linear. Sometimes you fall back to square one when something happens that
right.
you remember, but you will always come out better if you just bear the pain and go through it.
Are there any comments or parts of the writing that some may find it a little different, or I won't say controversial, but unique to your understanding and unique to your style?
The unique to my style is that I have written poems that deal with the topic of the chapter and put it together with the essay, and also have famous quotes from different writers that were applicable to the topic that I wrote them down also to emphasize its importance.
A good approach. Were there challenges in completing this with a 5-year time frame? It took a while, but were there other challenges in getting it completed?
My first personal challenge is that I was born and raised in the Philippines, and English is my second language. So that's kind of unusual for me to master the English language as a foreigner. The second one is that this is very personal to me, and initially it was very hard to write about it, and later on I got used to it. It became cathartic to my emotions.
Dr. Tan, thank you for joining us today and sharing the background story of this important book titled How to Live Well, Whatever Life Brings, drawing from your personal story. How do our listeners get copies of your book?
They can buy at any major bookstores or buy them at Balboa Press.
Thank you again for joining me today. And listeners, you can also do a search online under Pilar O. Tan. Pilar, that's P-I-L-A-R, middle initial O, last name T-A-N, medical doctor, and find out about this book and other things that she may advance and try in the future as far as writing. Dr. Tan, thank you for joining me today and sharing the background story.
Thank you, and you're quite welcome.
For Indie
Book, it was a pleasure talking with you.
For Indie Book Publishing, Balboa Press, this is J. Douglas Barker.
You're listening to Indie Book Publishing, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Hi, everybody. This is Pete Six of Beatles and Beyond. Why don't we all come together and hear some of the tracks off the latest Beatles release on this radio station? Yes, why don't you look up the schedules on this radio station and join me and Beatles listeners everywhere to hear the latest releases from the Beatles on Beatles and Beyond with Pete Dix.
Welcome back to Indie Book Publishing, helping authors publish, promote, and sell their books around the world. Now, back to your host, Steve Jorgensen.
The title of the book, Short-Handed, A Young Boy's Triumph Over Adversity, and the author is Bill Schultz. And Bill joins us now on Indie Book Publishing, this interview brought to you by Westbo Press. Hello, Bill.
Hi, how are you, Steve?
Well, great to have you with us. What an inspiring story. This is your story of a young boy who overcame severe physical deformities to lead to this fulfilling life, an incredible journey of faith, hope, and acceptance. You have lived it. You have gone through it. You know what it means to do things differently and to have determination and hope and all the above. I just salute you, Bill, for doing and having such a fulfilling life.
Well, it all started with a great level of acceptance and encouragement from my parents to begin with. I recall when I started writing this book, a write-up by a lady who actually interviewed my mom, my mom told her that when she first saw me, she looked past the deformities, which was a really incomplete right leg and left forearm and hand that was incomplete, and looked past those and just said, I'm going to love this little boy and I'm going to raise him, like a normal child. And, you know, that's what she did. And as a result of that, it built a level of self-confidence and self-esteem over a number of years. And, you know, that helped me immensely, as well as the acceptance and encouragement from my friends, classmates, other relatives. It just built a great foundation for me to really try things that perhaps I wouldn't have tried otherwise.
Because back then, you were born in 1945. Back then, children with disabilities or even serious illness like polio, they were treated in institutions, and sometimes they were away from the family for a long time.
Yes, and I was away from my parents for 2 6-month stretches. The first one to have my leg eventually amputated, and then waiting for it to heal and to teach me how to actually walk on literally a peg leg with a rocker at the bottom.
Wow!
And then 7 years later, you know, it was time for me to learn how to walk on a full artificial limb. And I was back in a hospital in upstate New York for another 6-month stretch, which was probably the darkest period of my life, where you're just sitting in a bed or sitting in a wheelchair or being fitted for a leg. It was just a very very difficult time, not only for me, but for my parents.
Certainly.
And back then, children with disabilities were pretty much kept inside the house, or you didn't see them outside much. But my folks, they used to kick me out the door and go outside and play and run around and as best I could. That was the beginning of the encouragement part of my relationship with my parents.
So the book is part of your mission, it seems, to really show others who have similar kinds of physical challenges that they can do it.
Absolutely. One of the things that my parents did was they allowed me to try. I think kids today, whether they're, have a disability or not, kids figure out what they can and cannot do. And kids with disabilities, they have a lot more obstacles to be concerned with. But, my mom saw me fall a lot, hurt myself a lot. But she also saw me, get up and figure things out. And there were things that I figured out on my own that I couldn't do. But the ability to try and allow me to do things, such as play sports. I was attracted to anything that had a ball, that had a ball included.
Wow.
And, played a lot of backyard sports with kids my age, baseball, basketball, football. And, there were a lot of times where I broke the artificial limb and my mom took me over to the brace maker to have it repaired and, got home and back off I was on a playing field again. For her to do that, a lot of parents would say, okay, that's it. We can't have you do that anymore.
Right.
I'm sure she went in the back room of our house many times to pray or just, hold her breath. But yet throughout that, she allowed me to go out and play with my friends. I guess my other goal here, Steve, with this book is to really encourage parents as well of mm-hmm. kids with special needs, to help them understand and, that the ability to help your son or daughter try things and within safety concerns, of course, but to let them really build their self-confidence by trying. I succeeded by failing, if you know what I mean. There were times where I failed, but in my mind, I succeeded because I tried.
Mm-hmm.
And so I try to tell parents that's important. The other thing I'm trying to get across, too, is for kids who look on other kids who are considered not necessarily just to have a disability, but who are considered to be different, considered to looked upon as weaker. This whole bullying trend is very disturbing. And instead of presenting an anti-bullying message, I'm hoping that my book and perhaps speaking to groups, I would give a pro-encouragement message using my life story as an example of how accepting and encouraging someone who's different can lead to great things, not only to the person that's receiving the encouragement, but also the people who are doing the encouraging. A lot of my classmates at my recent 50th high school reunion told me many times, it felt so good to see you succeed, and you encouraged us. So it was,
right.
It's that kind of thing that kind of motivated me to write this book.
Well, we all face challenges no matter our physical makeup. We all know that. And it is great to have folks around. And that's probably everybody's mission. Some take it seriously and accept it like you do. Because as you say, in before the Lord, you feel you're perfect,
mm-hmm.
which is obviously is contradictory.
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing that in writing this book, I've been a Christ follower for many years, but it wasn't necessarily, he wasn't the one I was thinking about when I was doing some, you know, some good things in my life. But this book especially, in writing it, which was written over about a four-year period, made me realize even further his presence in my life throughout. You know, his handprint is all over my life, from especially the people that he brought into my life along the way. I mean, it just beginning with my parents, an aunt who was a great encourager to me as far as trying physical activities, my classmates who accepted me, a college, being able to go to college and have a good business career, and meeting a wonderful wife who now, she and I will be married 40 years this Sunday, and two wonderful children and now two granddaughters. That didn't, you know, for me, I know that that's God's hand involved in all of it.
Well, that's wonderful understanding that you have. There is such power in perseverance and positive thinking, and you're an example of it.
Yeah, but I realized that I did not and I could not do it alone, whether it be, you know, my parents or classmates or Christ himself, who really, you know, was there to help me. You know, some people tell me I showed a lot of courage. Well, courage means that you did it on your own. You know, that wasn't the case in my, you know, for me. You know, I knew that there were many, many people around me that came into my life that helped me get to where I am.
Well, I think everyone would understand if you shed a few tears along the way, the what if, you know, what kind of an athlete could you have been? Because you were a great athlete, in spite of all your physical challenges. You were a student leader. People looked up to you, like you've already mentioned. And so your book kind of outlines from birth through high school, but it also talks about your success in the corporate world and as a business owner. Give us a little take on that.
Well, I graduated from Rutgers University in 1967 and was hired by General Electric to get into their financial management training program. And I was with GE for 17 years, eventually got into sales and marketing, and worked for a couple of startup companies thereafter. But then we moved to Madison, Wisconsin in 1987, and I didn't want to move my family again. We had moved five times in like 10 years, and started to look around for a business where I could stay in one place. And executive recruiting kind of caught my eye as a result of someone encouraged me to look at it, saying, you know, this would be a profession for you, Bill, that I think would be a good fit. Well, 25 years later, I'm still doing it. I've got my own executive recruiting firm here in Madison, and specializing in recruiting sales and marketing people for client companies, and it's been a great experience.
So it doesn't matter the challenge, whether it's physical, emotional. I don't want to say these are all equal, but there's all different kinds of challenges, psychological. There's all kinds of things that we deal with, mental, even spiritual. I mean,
yes,
you can overcome just about anything in life. You can turn your life around, or you can climb over the obstacles, literally climb the mountain like you've done, and stand on top. And boy, what a view from the top.
Yeah. Well, it all starts, though, from acceptance and encouragement from others. I think, you know, you can, certainly there are people who have had a very difficult upbringing, perhaps didn't get the acceptance and encouragement that they should have gotten, who have overcome that. But people who have been accepted and encouraged early in their life, I think really have, you know, were able to develop a building of self-confidence and self-esteem that allows them to have the ability, or kind of the outlook, to try and to persevere and to be determined in overcoming things or taking on challenges. And I've had my disappointments. I mean, as a kid, eventually I couldn't keep up with my friends. I tried out for Little League, and the coaches just explained to me that I just couldn't play because I could either cause injury or hurt myself. And then I continued to try out for my junior high basketball team. You know, I came to the realization that I couldn't keep up, but I had a coach that said, you know, with your attitude, Bill, I'd love to have you on the team. Would you be interested in becoming the student manager? And at first I kind of hesitated because I was really disappointed, but I went ahead and did that. And ultimately I became the student manager in high school of our football, basketball, and baseball teams, and then also in football team in college. And so my sports, you know, my sports connection continued, which has been really, people say, Bill, you really are kind of obsessed with sports. I said, well, it's kind of in my makeup, you know, that's the thing that has been a driver for me, a wonderful driver for me. You know, I became a Little League coach, here over the for 15 years, starting with my son. And, I think that's a result of, you know, being on the sports teams. And I just see sports as something that helped me, perhaps compete and continue to have a kind of burning desire to succeed.
Well, you're a perfect example of taking a lemon and turning it into lemonade. There's no doubt. You know, that's what this is all about, everyone. We've been talking to Bill Schultz. He is the author of his book, Short-Handed, obviously inspirational book and a literal how-to book for parents and for those who face these kinds of physical challenges. A young boy's triumph over adversity. Bill, tell us the best way to get your book.
Well, there's a few ways. You can go online at westbowpress.com and order it there, or you can order it through Barnes & Noble or Amazon or any independent bookseller.
Well, thank you so much, Bill, for joining us on Indie Book Publishing.
Well, thank you for having me, Steve.
And this interview has been brought to everyone by Westbow Press.
You're listening to Indie Book Publishing, and we'll be right back after these messages. Join us for Self-Aid Success Stories with Helen Wu, Wednesday nights at 10, 9 central on toginet.com. Helen Wu was born and raised in San Francisco's Chinatown, and after a very difficult upbringing, fighting depression, abuse, and addictions, she finally finds herself genuinely happy inside and out. Helen believes in taking our positive thinking and doing something positive to achieve a positive outcome. She's here to make a positive difference in your life, to be your game changer, your aha moment mentor. She's ready to help both men and women get into a better place. Helen Wu is also the author of Self-Aid Success Stories, 25 Success Stories from Successful Entrepreneurs. Inspired by Ellen DeGeneres, Helen wants the world to know that just because we find ourselves in a difficult situation doesn't mean we have to stay there. We can aid ourselves to a better life. So join us for Self-Aid Success Stories with Helen Wu, Wednesday nights at 10, 9 central on toginet.com. Welcome back to Indie Book Publishing, helping authors publish, promote, and sell their books around the world. Now, back to your host, Steve Jorgensen.
Greetings for Indie Book Publishing, Balboa Press. This is J. Douglas Barker. Our author, Jim Gardner, who joins me from Arizona, has written a book titled, Artists Are Like Apple Trees, a guidebook for success in music, art, and theater. Welcome, Jim.
Hello, thanks.
I like to talk to creative people because I consider myself IR1 also, I think. Tell me about your book. What is your background? How did you decide that putting a handbook out there for people like me, individuals who think they're talented, would be successful?
The actual initial came from the University of Wisconsin. The art department emailed me and probably every other art graduate student from however long. And what can I tell incoming students about the job prospects in the field of art? And to make make it short, the job prospects are very nil or whatever, but the job opportunities are unlimited. And I think it requires a paradigm shift from going to college to learn how to get a job to going out and learning how to be of service in your own unique way. So while the colleges teach technology and the skill of art and conceptual things, they don't teach the attitude of service one person to another.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe you can make money or be in business in any talent. It's a question of who you serve, not how much talent you have or what kind of talent you have. So the book kind of shifts off of, it addresses the creative people who have this reputation for being poor business people,
mm-hmm.
very creative and talented, but lousy at business. Well, this is about business, but it's based on your calling in life, your purpose in life. So again, it's been written in response to the university saying, what are the job prospects for incoming students? The answer simply is the job prospects are lousy, but the opportunities to be of service are unlimited.
Interesting perspective. You yourself had a relatively unusual approach to getting into the creative fields as far as performance and so on. Share a little bit of that background.
I really just never wanted to have a job. I have that attitude, that personality that I am nobody's puppet. So I don't like people telling me to show up for work at a certain time, take lunch at a certain time, certain length of time, come back, go home at a time, and then repeat that 5 days, 6 days a week, whatever. And I don't belong to anybody. I am on this earth as an individual, and I belong to the planet and on and on and on, that good stuff, that woo-woo stuff perhaps. But the idea being that I came here for a purpose of something, and I've discovered my purpose is to make the world more beautiful. Through trying to make money through multi-level marketing and through labor-oriented jobs, I go, this is not what I'm here to do. And artwork, music, things like that, self-expression got me excited. That was worth getting out of bed to go to the show at that night and, you know, be the center of attention as an entertainer. And now today to go into a project and transform a space from whatever it looks like when I got there to something much nicer when I leave. So I'm motivated by that drive to express myself.
It sounds like I'm interviewing myself. Sorry about that, Jim.
This is exactly who I'm talking to.
Right.
You and everybody like me, and I know there's a lot of people in this world that are passionate about their work, but they don't know how to make money at it. And it's not about the money. It's about that work. I am talking to you.
Yes.
You know, I'm talking to your soul, your creative soul.
Well, creative
heart inside of us.
Yeah, creative people have a different whistle that drives them to lunch and to work in the morning. I'm a very hard-working individual, very passionate about getting to the bottom line and getting it finished, whatever project I'm on. But what you have described as far as structure and being told what to do, what time to get up, what time to go to bed, that type of thing doesn't fit my personality. How do you advise someone? I know you have advised in a general way that we are needing to find a way to be of service to someone, to one of those fresh, scrubbed college graduates. What is the first step you would advise them to take on their way to a career?
The very first thing is decide what it is that you enjoy doing. Again, if you're into drama and theater, do you like the lighting? Do you like the acting? Do you like to write the play? Do you like to direct other people to have them say things in a certain way? Are you the director or are you the creator? It doesn't matter. If it's theater, it doesn't matter if you're an accountant. The same rules apply.
Mm-hmm.
The point is to see yourself doing what you enjoy doing. Why are you here on Earth? You know, and I'll go, I don't know. I don't even know if life has a purpose. It does. Find it. And so once you have an idea that here's what I'm really here to do, my case, I'm here to make the world more beautiful. And I'll never run out of things to do because there's plenty of room for improvement. Other people are here to organize. Teachers are here to teach. And I guess getting down to the book about the apple trees are here to produce apples. And they don't compare themselves to orange trees saying, well, I should have been an orange tree. They make more money. No, be yourself. Discover who you are. And work with that part of you, and here's the key to making money. Do it in a way that benefits someone else, because no one pays you for what you do. They pay you for the benefit they get from what you do.
great advice.
So if there's a benefit in someone else, making them feel good, making their room more decorated, entertaining them on theater, it doesn't matter what form it takes. As long as it's a benefit, then you can get paid. Do it for yourself. Your own joy is your benefit. Do it for others, and they can sell tickets. You can sell a painting in a frame. You can sell a song on a CD or download it off a computer. You now have a product that serves someone else's needs while fulfilling your need to produce it.
Good advice. Jim, as you approach the project of Artists Are Like Apple Trees, how did you begin this? What was the process like?
Well, I started out with the concept of, you know, answering the University of Wisconsin's admissions director question, what can I tell incoming students? And so with that as my compass or, you know, my guidepost, here's what you can tell incoming students, you know, chapter one, chapter two, chapter three. And so, you know, if you look at the table of contents for the book, it's a little roadmap here. Let me just flip the page real quickly so I can actually read and tell you the structure. But the hardest thing was just laying out a lot of stuff and keeping it simple. I did rewrite the book several times, actually, and did my best to get myself out of the picture and simply stick with the philosophy that suits for everybody. But, chapter two, finding purpose. That's just knowing what feels good to you. Your purpose is different than mine. But everybody has a reason for being here. And I like to say, you may not have a job, but you still have a purpose. I think that's the higher guidance as to what my job should be. My real job is to fulfill that purpose. So I have to find out what that is. Chapter two deals with that. Chapter three, the interaction over four aspects. I don't think most people think about the four aspects, but the four things are our physical bodies, our emotional feelings, our intellectual ability to solve problems, which is totally different than how we feel, how we think. And then there's this spiritual connection, which is being alive. Mm-hmm. The life that's in me is the same life that's in a blade of grass or a tree or a bird or you or any other customer or person I run to. Life is in all of us. And so that's our oneness principle or the spiritual side. It's invisible, but it's definitely real. So the interaction of our imagination, which is our intellect, and our feelings, along with our physical body taking action, that's a chapter in itself. That's chapter three. Uh-huh. So I could go on to key to happiness and success, and happiness is finding what you like to do. Success is doing it for others. You know, developing talent. Nobody is born talented. We develop our talents based on things that interest us. And, of course, courage and confidence is chapter six, and we develop our confidence by doing things we're afraid to do. It takes courage, and once we do it, it goes, I can do it again. Now mm-hmm. I have confidence. So then chapter seven, our thoughts are things, and if we think of doing something, we tend to take our lives in the direction of our thoughts. Then the shopping list, key to getting what you want. That's a heavy, but it's really exciting because it's basically being in harmony yourself with whatever it is. And I think the final chapter says it all. There is no competition to being yourself.
Good advice.
We're all on our own trip. We're all on our own journey. So I'm not competing with other artists, musicians, actors, or anything. I'm not competing for the Academy Award. I'm just trying to be better today at what I want to be better at. So I'm competing with yesterday.
And also competing with yourself.
Yeah.
To some degree, right. Jim, how would you introduce this to someone in a couple of sentences?
Well, first of all, I knew the person had some talent or was, revealed themselves to me that, gee whiz, I really admire you. You're so lucky. No, I'm not lucky. And I think in a couple of sentences I would say, so you want to earn a living with your talent? Find a way to be of service to others doing what you enjoy doing. That's it.
Excellent. Jim, if you could only highlight one specific message or theme from your book, what would that be?
Yeah, well, the summary of the book is simply that a person gets paid in proportion to the service they render to others. If you want to increase your income, find ways to increase your service to others. And that service can be music, art, drama, all the things that support the theater, like the lighting and the directing and all that, and all the music that supports the band, whether you're on the stage or whether you're in the recording studio. It doesn't matter. If you enjoy doing it, find a way to do it that serves other people's needs, and you have a success, you know, the formula for success in any career. I just like to talk about artists and musicians.
Absolutely.
And people like myself.
But this will transfer over into the business community as well. Value-added service is sort of what you're referring to.
Always, always. I don't care if you're an accountant. It's a service I'm after. I don't care how old you are, what you look like. I just want that service, and I will pay for it. So the same thing, if someone wants their wall decorated as an artist, if they want to go out and be entertained by a rock and roll band or a classical performance, or if they want to go to the theater, it's a value I'm willing to pay for as long as it's presented in a way that interests me. So by finding an interest in what the market wants or who they are, and I mean it's a worldwide market today, we have the opportunity to do our thing in a way that benefits someone else. And then I deserve to be paid.
You referred to this as a guidebook for success in music, art, and theater. It also could be referred to as a handbook because it is just 64 pages. Were there challenges in getting this completed, Jim?
Challenges was in editing it down and going, well, I'd love to say that, but that's not appropriate in this particular time. And leaving out, it was like telling certain children to stay home when the rest of them are going to a picnic. You know, I can relate to that. So in this book is a picnic of good ideas. And I'm very excited about writing another book, which will cover an awful lot of the things that just weren't appropriate to the art and music career. So the toughest thing was just sitting down, doing it, and again, focusing on what is this particular project about.
I love your approach. The title again is Artists Are Like Apple Trees, a guidebook for success in music, art, and theater. Our artist and author, Jim Gardner. Jim, where can my listeners get copies of your book?
Well, it's definitely on the Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, your what do you call it, the internet stores. You can also find it at my own personal website, which is jimgardnerauthor.com. And there's a whole bunch more stuff than is in the book, just probably 6-7 pages of the stuff that didn't get into the paper.
Mm.
And you can check that out. And so either directly from my website, you can connect with the bookstores, or go right away to BalboaPress.com, Amazon.com, or Barnes & Noble.
Artists Are Like Apple Trees. Our guest author, Jim Gardner. Jim, thank you for joining me today.
Oh, thank you for having me. This has been great.
Pleasure. For Indie Book Publishing, Balboa Press, this is J. Douglas Barker.
You've been listening to Indie Book Publishing with your host, Steve Jorgensen. Join us again next week at noon Eastern as Steve interviews another great author.